It's an honor to stand before you, to stand in this pulpit, to be entrusted by our pastors to minister the word to you. I don't take that lightly. It's a really serious matter. And so I have studied, I have prepared, and I got something for you. So get ready. It's probably not what you think, but I want us to go to seek ye first. This should be so imprinted in our hearts. And I think we're going to go a little further with that tonight. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. We're going to start there. It says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? According to his purpose and his grace. So I'm going to read the Amplified. "For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in and of itself holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, his unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death, to light through the gospel." If you are saved, you are called. What are you called to? To a life of consecration. It says in the Amplified, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. But what else are we called to? We're called to further God's purpose. And we heard about purpose this week, Pastor Nancy preaching on, you know, the purpose. What's the purpose? That should be first and foremost. And so Kenneth Hagin shared this in his book, Following God's Plan for Your Life. And this just came up in my heart about consecration and how important that is for us to fulfill God's purpose, his plan for us individually, and for his plan for us as a local church. And he says, "There seems to be a lack of deep consecration to God's will among Christians today." He told of the difference in the full gospel circles 50 years ago and today. And he wrote this a long time ago, as he compared believers and then believers then and believers now. "I realized there wasn't nearly as much sickness among spirit-filled Christians 50 years ago as there is today. I remember the great manifestations of the Holy Spirit we used to experience in our meetings. The move of the Holy Ghost was also much greater and a more consistent demonstration back then than it is today. As I was thinking about this, the Spirit of God said to my spirit, 'Yes, and the consecration of my people was greater too.'" And so we're in a new era. And it's requiring some things. And we heard a lot about seeking first. We heard a lot about God's purpose, God's plan, putting him first. And that takes a consecration to the plan. And that word consecration means dedication to the service and worship of a deity. The act or ceremony of separating from a common to a sacred use. Or devoting and dedicating a person or thing to the service and worship of God. Now, I know that I am preaching to the choir in here. We're all dedicated. We're here on Wednesday night. And you all show up and you're hungry and you bring a supply. But we need to examine, what else can I be doing? You know, it's one thing to just come in and say that was a good service. You know, camp meeting was wonderful, wasn't it? But what have we done with it since camp meeting ended? Because that was for us. Those are impartations. Those are, that's a consecration for us. So let's turn to Mark 26, 36 through 42. And I'm reading a lot, you know, the scriptures quite a bit, but we're going to get into something. I'm going to talk about Jesus and how he consecrated himself. Then came Jesus with them onto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, praying, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he came unto the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and praying and said, O Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, Jesus faced great opposition throughout his whole ministry. But now he's at the point of going to the cross. And he sees and he knows what's ahead for him. But he took deep commitment and consecration. It took deep commitment and consecration for him to obey. We all think, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. Jesus was just like we were. He was like as we were. He had the same thoughts, the same feelings, and he didn't want to go to the cross. His flesh didn't want to go. His spirit didn't want to go. His spirit, I think, really, that was the hardest part for him because it was separation from his Father. That he knew what was ahead for him. There's nothing else in life that equals consecration to God's purpose and plan. Jesus came for a purpose. He had a purpose. Jesus knew what his purpose was, but he also knew that the cross was ahead. He was like a man as we are, and he struggled with that. We need to see his humanity in these things because we can't just look at it, well, that was Jesus. We have to wash that thinking out. He was like as we were. He was going to the cross, and the Son of God drew back from the prospect of bearing the sin of mankind and experiencing separation from the Father. He felt the weight of that, but he knew his purpose. He knew what he came for, and he pressed through. He consecrated himself to the plan. He set himself apart. 1 John says 3:8 says, the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. His substitutionary death for mankind was the reason he came to the world. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What's my purpose? Well, I'm gonna do this for a living. I'm gonna go to school and I'm gonna get. No, what's your purpose between you and God? Amen. Jesus knew what his purpose was, and you know what? When he was faced with that great opposition and wanting to draw back from that, he was able to say, "Not my will, but your will be done," because he knew his purpose. He knew why he came. He was just like us, but he was looking past that. Yes. Amen. You know, the vision Sunday rolled out with the church purpose. I love that. See, I've been meditating on it. What's our purpose? And it's bringing believers into, I want to say it exactly, bringing people into encounters with God, empowering them to always be victorious through a spirit of faith. All right? That's our purpose. Easy. There's the answer. See, what's our purpose as a church? Go right there. Meditate on that. Bringing people into encounters with God. That's what we do here. And you know what? we get encounters while we do it. So that we can always, always live victoriously. So that we can know the Father, know the Son, know the Holy Spirit, know what belongs to us in Christ. What's your purpose? Seek ye first. What does that mean? When you seek first, you find your purpose. When you put God first and you lay everything else aside, my plans, my ideas, my ambitions. Now, wait a second. Let's back up. Well, yeah, but what about me? You know what? You start seeking Him. And the things that are in your heart, He'll bring to pass. And the things that are in your heart that aren't of Him will become dim. They'll be washed out. See, we get this, you know, the way I grew up, it was like consecrating yourself. That sounds, first of all, it sounds painful. It sounds boring. It sounds like something I don't really want to do because I was, you know, you have to suffer. You have to suffer for Jesus. It's a joy. It's a delight. To consecrate yourself to the one that saved your soul, Amen. That came down and died on the cross to buy you back, to redeem you, to bring you back into joy and peace and love and victory constantly. The flow of our life is victory. To bring us up and put us on solid ground. You know, we were singing that song. It's all about Him and what He did for us. Oh, you got to wake up every morning with a song in your heart and a skip in your walk. He's redeemed us. Let's consecrate ourselves to Him. And what He's done for us and what He has planned for us is above and beyond what we can think or imagine. If we will give Him a chance, if we will consecrate, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things are added. You know, in those hours, Jesus prayed, if it be possible. I love that because haven't we felt that? It shows how human and how much like He was and how Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But Your will, Your will. And, you know, we have to take that attitude when, you know, maybe we're serving in a department. I gotta do what? Your will, Lord. I love to do Your will. I delight to do Your will. It is a joy. I thank God that I have a church like this, that I can come and serve God. Oh, my goodness. What else can I do to help? What else can I do? It wasn't easy for Jesus to fulfill the Father's plan. It was a bitter cup. The word says that. But Jesus said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Aren't we? Isn't He our example? I'm here to do my Father's will. And in that is everything else that I need because I put Him first. I seek first. I consecrate myself to Him. His delight. Thy will be done. He talked to the Father. You know, He talked to the Lord. He was bold enough to go and say, you know, I really don't want to do this. Help me. You know, just be yourself. But God, I don't want to do that. Talk it over with Him. But in the end, Thy will. Your will, Lord. Your will. So now I ask you for the grace, because that's what it says in Timothy. The grace of God be upon me to serve You with a right heart, to serve You with a delight, a joy, to bring that supply. Then Hebrews 12:1-2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us, that's us, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, he was looking beyond. He was looking beyond the separation of the Father. He was looking beyond the cross. He was looking beyond the stripes that he would take on his back. He was looking beyond. And you know what? He was looking at us. He was looking at us. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what his reward was? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's ruling and reigning. And we're his brothers and sisters. He got us. So what do we get when we obey God's will? We get each other. We get strengthened. We become influential in the kingdom of God. Isn't that what we want? I want to be a light in the world. But see, I have to consecrate myself to God and his way of doing things. I have to seek him first. And I think so many times we get tripped up thinking, that's a hard thing. You know, our society is so, I'm going to do it my way. And everything is me, mine. And the opposite is true. To seek him first. To consecrate your life to him. To walk in love and forgiveness. To not get offended. Keep coming. Just keep coming. Jesus knew the outcome that redemption would bring. He opened the door for us. He opened the door. The door of the life of God had been shut through sin. And he opened that door so that we could all come through. Amen. He's our example. Amen. We can open doors for other people to come through. Amen. When Jesus knew the outcome that redemption would bring, the salvation of mankind, he knew the greatness of God's plan, God's purpose. He was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He knew. What do we know? What's God's purpose? What's God's purpose? You know, God has a purpose for us individually, but then what's God's purpose for this local church? If you listen to pastors, and I could take a whole service and just go over things that pastor has said. Go back to Vision Sunday of this year, let alone all the years previous to that, and listen and catch what he's saying about this local body. We're a base. We're a base where we'll function, and people will go out from this place and change the world. So what you will or won't put away, put aside, will determine what God can do with you next. How far can do you want to go with God? Don't struggle with the weights. Lay them aside. Our part is the easy part. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. Your success is based on what you do with the word. And I know that, you know, we're all so excited. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the recent services that pastor's been preaching. You know, he's been teaching us about our authority and God's image of us and the gifts of the Spirit. We're contending for the gifts, the revelation gifts to be flowing. Let's consecrate ourselves to give our attention to that, to press into that. Because when we do, we can go into it. We can experience it. It can become, you know, he taught us that the gifts of the Spirit should be flowing in our lives. And then he asked, who's ever experienced a word of knowledge? Yeah. And all these hands went up. But because we didn't understand fully, then it was like, oh, aha, I recognize that. Yeah. See, he's teaching us and training us to become skilled. Right. We need skill. But it starts with consecration to the plan and purpose. And that's where everything backs up to your will, Lord. Yes, I consecrate my life to you. Take me, use me, wherever you choose. And I will do it with a joy and a delight. Amen. Praise God. Remember the steps? Pastor Nancy? Remember the musket? I love that. Okay, first you got to put in the powder, then the bullet, and then you take that big long thing, pound it down in, right? So then you're ready to shoot with accuracy. So what's the first step? Say it. Open your mouth. Say it. Second step? Meditate. It's pounding that thing down into you, getting that word down into you. Meditate on it. Feed on it. Go over it and over it and over it. And then when you're faced with a situation, you know exactly what to do. And you take that gun and you shoot it. You answer the devil like, you know, Andre was saying, you shut that thing down. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to give double. You know, just hair lip the devil. Meditate. Gets the word in you. Take steps of action is number three. Do it. Do it. Shoot the gun. So much awaits for us that we can't afford not to do this. And it's just a joy and a delight to be a part of it. We purpose to lay aside that which will not accelerate our race. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We have to lay aside some things. And it's really just, you know, I'm just going to spend more time in the Word. I'm just going to spend more time praying in the Spirit. God's blessed us. Praying in tongues is so easy. It is so easy. People say, oh, it's hard. It's so easy. I don't have to think, which is better. I just yield to the Holy Spirit within. Until then, I tap over and get into the realm of God. And, you know, there He'll show me things. He'll explain things to me. He'll tell me things, just like He did with Jesus. Jesus didn't pray in tongues because it wasn't that the church age yet. But there's things that I need to know for my life, for my children, for my family, for my helps ministry position, for my job. Seek first. Develop our faith first. Develop our spirit man first. Develop our love walk. It's developing. And we just do that every day. Practice the word. Practice the word. Practice the word. It's not hard to lay it aside. It's like, well, yeah, but I really like to do this. Just a minute. It's not hard to lay it aside. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's as easy as it's a choice. I'm going to lay this aside. I'm going to take this time and spend it with the Lord or whatever. You know, I'm going to serve at church. I'm going to lay aside. I'm going to believe God that I have Wednesday nights off so I can come to church. I'm going to use my faith for that. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Okay, I set before you life. I do this in the healing class all the time. I set before you life and death. And then he gives us the answer. Now choose life. It's better. This is the one you want. But see, he makes us choose. We choose. And it's not a one-time choice. It is something that we do every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Okay, I choose life because I choose not to respond angrily to the car in front of me, at the checkout lane, at home with my family. I choose life when I respond right. When I respond to walk in love. And then it says here that thou mayest love the Lord thy God and thou mayest obey his voice and that thou might cleave unto him for he is life and the length of thy days. He is life, but we choose him. It's a choice. It's a choice. God has given us free will. He won't push anything off on us. You know what? You made a choice tonight to come to church. That was a good choice. We must make the choice. And if we don't, on purpose make the choice of life, we will default to death because our human nature will just come in and take over. Open your mouth and begin saying, today, Father, I choose life. I choose life. I thank you, Father, that you've given me the ability to choose life. Today, I choose to follow your will and your plan. Now, Holy Spirit, you dwell in me. You're my helper. You're my guide. You're my teacher. You're my counselor. Help me today to choose life. Help me today to make right choices. Help me today. Because we have to become skilled at this. What you'll find is when you choose him, his plan for your life becomes the joy and delight of your heart. Jesus looked right past what was ahead, the cross, the suffering, separation from the Father, and he looked beyond that to what he saw. And sometimes when we're frustrated and we just want to quit and we want to go to old ways of thinking and old ways of responding and calling your friend on the phone and complaining about somebody, what's beyond that? What's beyond just keeping your mouth shut? Thank you, Father. I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to let offense get in me. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to bless that person. That'll get you through. That'll get you through to the other side. And it is a wonderful freedom. So open your mouth and begin saying, today, Father, I choose life. I consecrate myself to you. I want to be sold out for you. This is a sold out church for the plan of God. Jesus looked right past, and he saw us. That's got to bless you. He could have chosen not. He could have chosen not. He has free will, just like we do. So God planned it. Jesus obtained it. The Holy Ghost performs it. You've heard pastors say that. And the classic prayer of consecration is, thy will be done. I want your will done in my life, Father. And that's a progression. That's a growing and development of your spirit. It's moving forward in the thing. Okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to start in helping in some department of the church. I'm going to start helping in the nursery. I'm going to take a step. Do something. Take a step of action. You know, and this kind of consecration you do every day really is, okay, I'm starting over today. And I'm living for God. And you have to remind yourself, I'm living for God. What a joy it is to live for God. See, open your mouth and declare the end from the beginning and saying, I got the victory. I'm going to walk in love today. And I'm excited about it. And I'm going to go to work today and I'm going to sit by that person that's just, and I'm going to walk in love towards them. I'm going to love them. I have an opportunity to use my faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice in that. Press through to it. Press through it. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus had to learn obedience just like we did. When we learn that, it's empowering. It is powerful. I'm not taking that offense. I'm not going there. I remember, you know, sometimes you face a situation and so many times I'll hear Pastor Debbie's voice. I'll hear Pastor Jay's voice. I can remember where he was standing, how he was emphasizing, you know, what he was saying. And I say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. That's why you're here. You're here to receive instruction so you can go out there and do what you've heard here. It's not just to say, that was a nice service. And I know you don't, but it took Jesus going to the cross to willingly obey the plan of God. What are we willing to do to obey the plan of God? If you're truly following God's plan, he will ask you to do some things that will take your breath away. He will. He'll set you up. He'll set you up. But on this, look past it. Look past. Look past it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The anointing of God is upon me. Hunker down. Be in services. Be ready. Hallelujah. You know, Carlos and I always have a saying, our answers are in the service tonight. We're going tonight to get answers. Amen. You know what? Because you open your mouth. Start saying that. I'm going to church tonight to get answers. There's going to be a move of the Spirit in the service, and I'm going to yield to it. Start saying that. Start speaking it out. Get your mouth moving for you. God has a specific, special plan for your life. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned ahead of time for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. He has a plan. It's all arranged. It's all prearranged. And it's a good life. It takes consecration. It takes being willing and obedient. God has a plan for this ministry. He has a plan for this church. It takes consecration. You can take this verse and say the same thing. We're a family. It's for this local family. He has a specific plan for this church. And when you come to services, you start to get glimpses of what that plan is. I write those things down. Keep them before you. Because then you'll be able to see more clearly your role. We're a family. And there's house rules and family. There's jobs that need to be done. There's things that, you know, how can I help? What can I do? Number one, you can pray for your pastors. You know, pray for each other, but then we can put our hand to something in helps ministry. And isn't it fun? I mean, when you start getting involved in helps ministry, it's just like one ongoing party. Because we're all full of joy. It's a delight to be here at, what, midnight, putting up chandeliers. But this verse doesn't sound like I can do what I think I want to do. Well, remember when Pastor Jay didn't want a pastor? Aren't you glad he obeyed God? Aren't you glad he came to pastor us? But he didn't want to. But you know what? He said, thy will, Lord. Thy will. Not mine. Not my plan. Your will be done. And through that, a door was opened for us to be blessed. See, through your willing and obedience, doors will open for others. That's why it's so important to be willing and obedient, to be consecrated. Whatever you want, Lord. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All this other stuff, all those heart's desires, all those things, all your finances will be added unto you. And just like Andre was saying at the offering, yeah, but how am I going to this? How am I going to that? Wait a minute. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But he will ask you to do some things that will make your head go on tilt. Just like, hey, you want me to give what? We're going to feel some things to fulfill the purpose of God. But let's look beyond. What's ahead? What's ahead for us? There is so much in our pastors. So much. My challenge is trying to keep up. You know, every service trying to keep up. Just the next teaching. Because I got to get it. I got to get it. And so that I can walk in it, so I can bring a supply. There's a level that God wants to take this church, and it's going to take consecration. It takes a true surrender to God. Isaiah 1:9, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land, and that's us. This local body is affecting this city. You know, just like you were hearing, we've got Reverend Roberts coming back. We've had camp meeting. We had Reverend Roberts. We've had all ministers, men. God's equipping us. God's equipping us more and more and more because he has a plan. And so when we're good students of that plan and we're staying in pace with it, you know, remember Pastor Jay said, I'm going to be running. You're going to have to run to keep up with me. And that's not a negative. Just let's keep pace with the plan of God. So praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It says, agree with God and great good shall come to you. Do you believe that? Agree with God. I agree with God. Agree with God and great good shall come to us. Pastor, do all that's in your heart, for we are with you. We're with you. And then we hear the plan and it's like, we're going to what? We're going to pay off the building? Yeah. Remember when he said, he wasn't asking us to do anything, but just start calling for the plane. Just start calling for it. Are you calling for the plane? Yeah. Just start calling for it. See, our words are what allows us to be consecrated to the plan of God. What are we saying? Are we talking about it? Are we renewing our mind? Are we coming out of a service and talking with each other about what Pastor said, about what Pastor Debbie said, and getting excited about it? You know, it's like if Pastor said it, we can do it because he hears from God. We have the easy part. We just bring our faith to the plan and then put our hand to whatever needs to be done. That's consecration. See, consecration comes in many different forms. I was raised to think that you had to climb up a hill and bloody your knees and your hands and sweat and all this painful, weird stuff. Consecration is just saying, okay, what's the plan? What are we doing? Okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to help. I'm going to bring my supply. It's consecration to the plan. Having a prayer life is consecration to the plan. Praying for each other is consecration to the plan. And it brings us into unity. How did the church age get birthed? They were all in the upper room together in one accord, and suddenly they were in one accord. And we're in unity. We're a church that's in unity. We are in one accord. And, you know, there's so much. This era is being birthed as we speak. And it's coming to pass. We saw this last week, the men and women of God, and how they flowed together in one accord, in unity. It was an example for us. And we brought that supply. And we pulled on them. And, you know, Pastor said when he taught us how to respond to the prophet of God. And he said, I want to hear. I wasn't going to go this direction. But I'm going to go that way. And I believe it was every single service. The first night, Pastor Nancy got up and she says, oh, yeah, no. Give me those notes on, yeah. And it was like, yes. Because that's the highest and the best. That's the fullness. That's what we want. That's what we're going after. Even Pastor Jay said it. And so we need to go back over and we need to hear those again and again because they came. That's fresh off the press of heaven for us. You know, remember, without God, we're nothing. But we're with him. Amen. We're with him. Hey, we got nothing to fear. All things are possible. Anything is possible. The plan of God comes to pass for us because we're with him. What a joy. What a delight. Thy will be done. Jesus came and he knew his purpose. And it was to destroy the works of the enemy, to open the door for us to be able to come back into right relationship, back into right fellowship with God. He opened the door for us to come through, but now we are laborers and co-laborers together with him. So now doors stand before us that we can open for others to come in. Or to bring a supply. It could be many different things. To bring a supply to a department of the church. To be a blessing to someone in the church. To support and love one another. To be an example in the city. To help at the daycare. Our flesh wants things easy. Our flesh wants to go home and do whatever we like to do, you know. But what God has for us is far greater. And he has fully equipped us. He has given us pastors after God's own heart. He has fully equipped us, but now we have to come and sit and get the assignments and go and do them. Amen. That takes consecration. But that's easy. That's easy. Okay, get the instruction and then put it into practice. And he always brings us into more. The devil will always try to pressure you and pull you out. Recognize his strategies. What's my purpose? What am I consecrated to? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Am I seeking him? Am I laying those things aside? When he tells me to give more than I thought I should give, am I willing and obedient? When he tells me to go see some, when he tells me to sign up for a sign up when I really don't want to on a Saturday morning to get out of bed and come and work the grounds, that's consecration. And then I'll close with this. You know, you got to go back to your love for him. You know how when we all got born again and it was just so wonderful, and that love needs to be stirred every day. You know, if my husband never showed me any affection, our relationship would grow cold. And I'd begin to wonder if he cared. So we have to go to the Father. We have to love on him. We have to express our heart to just that song tonight that we were singing, It's All About You. Jesus. That's a love song. Jesus, it's all about you. You got to tell him, God, I'm not going to quit on you. Can he trust you? I'm not going to quit on you. Help me. You know, if you feel like quitting, God, I'm not quitting, but help me because I feel like quitting. Help me. And he will. Our confession will draw greatness to us. What are we confessing? What are we saying? There's greatness in us. He's in us. We have to draw on that. Draw that up by saying, Father, thank you. I love you. I worship you. I am with you. I consecrate myself to you. I don't have to understand it all, but I'm going for it. I want all that you have for me, Father. And even if that means that I got to press through some hard things, it's in the rejoicing that the power flows. You know, you've got to stir yourself up. And that sometimes is difficult to do, but other times it's just real easy because when we come to church, it's so much fun to get around all you guys because it's easy. But take that home with you. You know, I can just come over here and get by Kim and just start laughing. And it's not hard. It's just ha, ha, ha. You know, I love that because sometimes that's what church is for. It's just like, I got to get in here and sit between these two Holy Ghost people to just help me. There's times, but there's times then you help others. That's what the family is for. This era will be marked by joy. It will be marked by the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit and manifestation, and it will be marked by the fullness of the fivefold ministry gifts. We have heard Pastor Jay say that. Now, I want to say a few things that Pastor Jay said. because that's my heart, to stay very close to things that he said, and I'm going to close with it, even though I have many more pages. He said, this year will be a new day for this ministry, a year of an open door. The progress you make this year will be made with a freshness of the Spirit, with an ease to the flow. There is a shift coming in the spirit realm for Spirit of Faith Family Church this year. God is setting before us an open door to a higher flow, a flow that equips us to move with greater ease. There's a momentum that is kicking in from the press of past seasons, and because of more skillfulness in tapping into the assistance of the realm of the Spirit, the angelic realm, things of the Spirit will begin to push us. Get ready, because we're going to see greater manifestations. Hallelujah. But I'll go back to what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, there seems to be a lack of deep consecration to God's will among Christians today. The difference between 50 years ago and today, he compared that believers, he says, I realize that there wasn't nearly as much sickness among Spirit-filled Christians 50 years ago as there is today. But he says, I remember the great manifestations of the Spirit we used to experience in our meetings. Well, God's got great moves of the Spirit, doesn't he? But he goes on to say, the move of the Holy Ghost was also much greater and in more consistent demonstrations back then than it is today. And I was thinking about this, and the Spirit of God said to me, yes, and the consecration of my people was greater too. And that is something, that really is the message, is that, you know, consecration is easy. It's just a heart. Turn your heart towards God. Yeah. Seek ye first. They're very similar. But again, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was our example. He came for a purpose. And our purpose here as a local church is to bring people into encounters with God. Bringing people into encounters with God. Well, it takes people that are filled with the Spirit of God to bring them in. And that's us. And we're not slacking. We're consecrating ourselves.